This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, a guy who was with us a couple of weeks ago, and we love checking with the guys that we talk to see how their thinking is changing or progressing throughout the whole process, and is Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Hi, Steve. Thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It sounds like it's sleepover week, right, with the Browns and all their QB hopefuls?
It is.
They all brought their sleeping bags. It's so cool.
Baker Mayfield was here, supposedly, and Sam Darnold in town now, so that's going to be nice.
And they're all hanging out inside the facility, which
that's
is too small.
It's really nice.
Which most high schools have better indoor facilities than the Browns do.
We don't want to talk about that.
Yes.
April 3rd, yesterday, your fourth mock draft came out. What are you thinking here, man?
Yeah, man, dude, you're on.
You got me all fired up.
You're on your own island on this one.
Well, I do my mock drafts differently from everyone else. I'm not trying to predict what the Browns would do. And honestly, I don't even know why that's what people do. Why would you try to get into the NFL's brain? I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was general manager.
Yep.
Isn't that a lot easier?
And at number one, you are picking.
It's Baker Mayfield. So he's the best quarterback in the draft. He's been the most productive quarterback. And actually, we've been digging into our numbers more and more now that we have 4 years of college data, 3 years of guys transitioning to the NFL. And our data is really good, actually, predicting guys in the NFL. Quarterback stuff's been pretty solid. And Mayfield's just been in a different league when compared to everyone else in the country the last couple of years. The top-graded quarterback by our system for two straight years, the two highest grades we've ever given in our 4 years. And just he can win at every level, has a good arm. He does not have a he's not a bad arm guy just because he's short. He has a very good arm, can make all the NFL throws. And he was our highest graded guy on what we call NFL throws. And those are those, you know, the throws that NFL quarterbacks need to make most consistently to have success. So every way you said, Mayfield's been our top guy, though I do love Darnold, you know, as a number two guy, you know, right behind him.
What is it about Darnold that you like, Steve?
I just think you have all of the special NFL throws in there. Anticipation, throws the ball extremely well over the middle of the field, throws guys open through zones, and then he's got a little bit of that outside the pocket magic as well. So a lot of plays last year, the USC offensive line was pretty bad. He was pressured quickly, and you'd see him kind of get out of the pocket, make plays on the move, throws well on the run. So I just think his high-end plays are very translatable to the NFL. His big thing was just cutting back on some of those turnover-worthy plays that he had last year, but I felt like that was more of a four- or five-game slump that saw him fumble a ton and throw some poor passes into coverage. I think it was more of an anomaly rather than, you know, a part of what he is. So I think he can be coached out of some of that stuff, and he's still very young at the position, only a redshirt sophomore last year and two really productive years at USC.
All right, Steve, at number four, Jabril Peppers handed you an envelope full of cash, maybe, perhaps? Or tell me your thoughts on your number four pick. I'm just kidding.
It's all Michigan thing. Guy, right?
Yeah, that's why.
Maurice Hurst.
Yeah.
I'm taking a lot of heat for this because what happens is we're just basing this off of our evaluations. I really don't know what Mel Kiper's saying or what, you know, Todd McShay or Mike Mayock are saying. I'm assuming they're not saying great things about Maurice Hurst, because everybody's saying, why would you take Hurst that high? And it's because he's incredible. He's unbelievable the way he gets off the line of scrimmage, pad level, hand usage. He's got the top interior defensive line grade that we've given in our 4 years, much like I said about Baker. And as good as our quarterback grades have been translated at the next level, our defensive line and pass rushing grades have been even better. So I feel really good about Hurst, how productive he was for three straight years at Michigan, and his ability to translate at the next level. He's a top five player in draft, and I think, you know, the world needs to know it. Maurice Hurst is awesome, and he'd be a great fit with the Browns as an interior penetrator. Put him next to Ogunjobi, put him on that line with Myles Garrett, and you've got something special brewing in Cleveland.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus. A lot of talk, Josh Allen in consideration at number one for the Browns. Obviously, Steve Palazzolo and Pro Football Focus thinks that would be a major blunder because you have him going 40th to the Denver Broncos. What don't you like about Josh Allen?
Just so you know, have some insight too. You know, when you're putting this whole thing together, you know, I considered him at say 22 with the Bills. So the fact that he fell to 40th doesn't mean I hate Josh Allen, but I would not take him in the top three. I do think that there's this Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold tier. I like Rosen next, and I do think there's a drop off between those guys and then the Josh Allens, the Mason Rudolphs, and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. With Allen, it just comes down to an accuracy issue. I mean, we've heard it quite a bit, and it's not that he can't make accurate throws. He's got the special throws in his bag. That's not a question. It's the easy stuff I need to see from him. You know, the three-step drop, hit a guy in stride. He does not do that as well as the top guys in this draft. And as much as the NFL likes to tell you, you know, give me the guy that throws that has a cannon for an arm, and I'll teach him accuracy, that's just not it's not a consistent trend. So the thing I say about Allen is, you know, he'll have the big arm that can get the ball down the field, and he's got this athleticism to make special plays outside the pocket. But you have to know that it's a high volatile game that he plays. He makes a lot of bad decisions. He's going to miss a ton of throws. It's very much like a Cam Newton. So there's a path to success with that. But Cam's been a good, not great quarterback in this league because he does miss too many throws. And I think that's where Allen is at this point, especially when compared to some of the other top guys.
So Steve, tell me this, and I'm looking for an answer, not arguing with you on this. Why is it that the accuracy issue is such a big deal for Josh Allen, yet Sam Darnold can learn not to turn the ball over and make better decisions?
I just think you have to look at what actually stays consistent year to year. So our numbers have shown that actually the most important thing year to year is how you play from a clean pocket and how well you hit open receivers. And Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are so much better at both of those things, playing from a clean pocket and especially hitting open receivers. So it's one of those things you could just trust that will stay consistent. Josh Allen is a step below those guys, and we know that number stays consistent. Numbers that do fluctuate more are those turnover-worthy throws. We've seen guys at the NFL level like a Blake Bortles who went from a turnover machine to, if you put him in the right system with the right supporting cast, you can kind of coach those out of him. You can't coach accuracy into a guy as much as maybe a minimal improvement, but not a massive turnaround. A guy like Blake Bortles took a huge turnaround. It was a huge turnaround because of scheme and some other things around him. So it's all about which things can you evaluate that stay stable at the next level and which ones potentially fluctuate.
Steve, I think one of the things I love is going to look at pick 33, the first pick of the second round, and you're saying the Browns need to replace Joe Thomas. And I keep looking to everybody's second round to see how they value that, and I wonder if the Browns are going to try to jump back in the first round with three picks in the second round to go try to find the replacement for Joe Thomas. Why is Jamarco Jones a strong candidate at 33 for the Browns to start that second round?
Yeah, he's a solid fit. He's a good all-around player. Some people like him in the first round. I see him as that borderline first or second round type of player. I do think this offensive line class has a few first-round offensive players and a bunch in the second and third round that could absolutely be inflated and go a little bit higher than that. Jones is just a solid pass protector, improved every year at Ohio State, you know, by our numbers as well, not just, you know, coach speak. He did improve every single year. And, you know, one of the most efficient pass-blocking tackles in the league, in the nation last year. So I'm not all about going into the draft just looking to fill needs. So I don't want the Browns to go in and just say, hey, we need a tackle, let's just find a guy. But if the draft falls to you properly and the value matches up, I think it makes sense. And that's where Jones is, I think, at the top of the second.
Steve Palazzolo joining us, profootballfocus.com. And that's the website, profootballfocus.com. Steve, your draft came out, the last mock, before the Patriots made their move last night, trading Brandon Cooks to the Rams and getting a number one. New England now has two number ones and two number twos. Are they planning something, or are they going to draft four guys?
I did actually have to fix the mock too to slot their pick in, but I think if the right quarterback, I don't know if there's a quarterback that they're targeting. I think if the right guy fell, you know, they're in the QB market. There's no doubt about that. So if the right guy's there, they will take him. I do think it's one of those things where if you look at recent years, they've been missing out on first round picks due to the Deflategate stuff. They missed out on a first round pick last year because of the Brandon Cooks trade with the Saints. They really have not added a ton of talent from the draft in recent years. And they only had four picks last year. They've already cut one or two of those guys. So they just really need an influx of youth on this roster. So they're going back to their old ways of accumulating draft picks, much like the Browns have done these last couple of years, and added a whole lot of youth to the roster. I think it's this overall Patriot strategy of this is how you build a roster, and then they are creeping up, and if they do have an eye on a specific quarterback, they can go ahead and make that move.
Steve, is there one guy in this draft who you think might be taken higher than most folks think and will stun everybody?
Higher than most? Man, it's tough at this point. I really think this draft is weaker than previous years. I just think that so in other words, I think there's a lot of guys that I'm going to be surprised about, because last year at this time, I thought I had a ton of first-round grades on guys. We had a ton of second-round grades. This year, I was having a tough time putting guys into the round two who I thought were more, you know, round three type of players. So I'm not sure if there's a specific guy that, you know, that surprises me. There's a guy, you know, Justin Reed from Stanford is a safety that's getting a lot of hype right now. I don't hate him as a player, but he's getting first-round hype. I do think it's one of those drafts where the end of the first round might have a ton of surprises, where a team just goes and targets a guy that might not be a consensus top player, but really fits them and, you know, maybe surprises some people.
Steve, I always appreciate your insight and a little out-of-the-box thinking for us, which is always good at this time of the year. ProFootballFocus.com. Go read Steve's mock draft and that terrific website, everything you're going to need to know about the draft.
Thanks, Steve. Hey, Steve, next time we're talking minor league baseball with you and your career in minor league
baseball. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get 8 years to talk about, so whatever you want.
Hey, anybody that can spend half a season in Helena is all right with me. You're all right.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Don't bring it up. I was too old for the league, too. It's terrible.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Palazzolo, ProFootballFocus.com, the website.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.